All right, ladies and gentlemen, how is everybody? Welcome to another episode of Ear to Ear Podcast with C-Ray and Lanny Moe. Y'all know who we are by now. I'm C-Ray. This good-looking guy over here is Lanny Moe.
What's up?
And football season has begun, and we're not crazy excited about it yet. If you've been living under a rock and wasn't paying attention, Penn State gave us everything we wanted this past Saturday. We took a loss 34-12. Drew Aller. You know, I don't think he did anything spectacular. 11 of 12 for 216, three touchdowns. One was a gift, as we all know. Six rushes for 44 yards. Green, 15 of 28, 161 yards, no touchdowns, 10 rushes for 5 yards. Let's not waste any time. Let's just get into it. Lanny, what do you think?
I think the sky's not falling. We are in the same position as we were last year after week one. I was very shocked. I think the coaching staff was shocked about the offense. Just nothing came easy. It was every yard that we got was earned one way or another. No broken assignments on. Penn State didn't give us anything. The referees were bad on both sides of the ball. After watching some things, West Virginia didn't even score a touchdown. He was down. And I got to say that. The spots were awful. Why even have replay if you're not going to if you're not going to overrule calls that were obvious calls?
Yeah.
West Virginia, the both sides of the line held all day long. Penn State was better than what I ever anticipated them being. I'm giving them all the credit in the world. We gave them a few gifts. Offensively, we just looked like we just woke up. I mean, there was no rhythm. The whole game, everybody there and at home was probably going, let's go. Let's get this first. And it felt like it was third and three, fourth and one all day. And we just couldn't convert. And Aller actually killed us with his legs. It feels like he picked up two or three first downs. Like it was like third and eight.
Well, he did.
Where he just stepped up. He just stepped up and got to 9 yards and got down.
Yeah.
We didn't take advantage of anything they did kind of help us with. Like they fumbled, we get the ball back, we fumble right back. And those were those fumbles on the snaps. Brown said they were on Green. He said those were not on the center either. Green said that he called for it too early. And the one time, the guy in motion, it would have been great if he'd have just caught the damn snap. Cause it basically hit him and,
would probably got yardage on that.
Probably, but there was not like, we never hit nobody in stride. If our wide receiver caught the ball, it was a toss up. I mean, the defense, Penn State, we got no separation on our wide receivers. And it seemed like our running backs were trying to pick the hole and then hit it. And by the time they shuffled, they were done. I mean, anything, it just seemed like we didn't stretch. We didn't stretch their defense and make them, I don't know how to like pick a weapon.
Yeah.
And I truly thought we'd do that. And I think our tight end had a total of two catches and a one was bounced in the air and he had to go after it. And it was just nothing came easy. My hat's off to Penn State, but the sky's not falling. I have faith in this coaching staff and in this team. They just got to get better really quick. They got to touch up some things against Albany, and then let's go. And if they beat Albany, if they're still lackluster and don't blow out Albany by 45, I'm still not the end of the world. But if you're in a game where it's 17-10 with Albany, then I'll be like, oh my. And at any point, you should beat up on the teams that you should beat up on. And hopefully they just get things worked out. I mean, that's all I can do. Well, that's all any of us can do is hope.
Well, I mean, my thoughts, okay. To get started, I don't know where to start. I have a lot of disappointment from this weekend. And, I want to preface this before anybody says anything. I did not think we were going to beat Penn State. If anybody remembers, I have been the one on this podcast. It's a realist. Lanny's over here drinking the Kool-Aid before Penn State. We're going to beat them. No.
But I thought we would. I thought we would.
I did not think we were going to beat them. I thought we had a chance. Didn't think it was going to happen. What's deflating for me is to see how we come out flat. You know, our fifth-year senior quarterback played like a freshman. Okay. All we've heard in the offseason from Brown is how much improved Green is, how much improved the wide receivers are, how much better the running back's going to be, how much better the defense is going to be. That's all we've heard all offseason is him pumping everything up. We're ready to go. And I took that and said, okay, probably not going to beat Penn State. Probably going to make it a pretty interesting game. We didn't do that. The officiating, you're right, was terrible. I don't know how you missed the running into the kicker. I mean, that was pretty freaking obvious. I don't know how you missed that.
I don't know what the call is on that. Yeah, I mean, I thought at any time that a kicker got touched, as long as the guy wasn't blocked into the kicker, it's a flag.
That's what I've always believed. So if there's anybody out there that knows for sure better on that than we do.
Correct us. Inform us, please, you know.
Because I always thought if a defender runs into the kicker, that's a flag.
Not that it would matter.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Like, that wasn't going to be the game changer. But the point is, the officiating still missed that. The obvious PI on Cole Taylor. That was a pretty obvious PI call, I thought. But I mean, to my knowledge, I don't think you're supposed to give any kind of, well, he's smaller than you, so we're going to let him get away with it kind of stuff. You know, I don't think that's accurate. The clear face mask on Jaheim on that one running play. I mean, dude, that dude just grabbed his – I mean, he had his hand in his mask and just jerked him down by his head. I don't know how you missed that. And then, of course, the big one that everybody's been talking about is the crazy missed offensive PI call right before half. That was right in front of me, okay? Right, you know where I sit. It was right in front of me. And that guy literally pushes him back. I mean, you can't miss it on the replay. There's 10 different clips on Twitter about it. You can see him extend – our guy goes flailing back. He turns around, catches the freaking ball.
And I don't know
how that doesn't get caught. And the ref is right there watching it.
And no matter if our defensive guy is all over him or not, because there's people saying, well, it should have been defensive pass interference. If anything, you still, as a wide receiver, cannot create space to catch the ball.
Well, so, and I don't agree with that anyway, because our guy was looking for the ball, and they were both looking toward the ball, making a play for it. So even then, it wasn't a defensive pass interference. And then not to take any away from the other side, they weren't great on the other side for Penn State either. They were bad with spotting the ball.
Yes.
And I'll admit it. I that touchdown also was in front of me. I was like, nah, he ain't in. He's short. He's down. Nope. Gave it to us. I'm like, well, I appreciate the makeup call from the offensive pass interference earlier in the day. But the officiating was just none of it was good. None of it was good.
Well, my thing is, whenever you got fourth and inches or third and two, and everybody in the stadium knows what the play call is, it's bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever you know you call quarterback keeper, and you know the tight end in motion is going to put his hands up and do the two-cheek sneak, you know, and help push, and Penn State's got nine guys within 4 inches of each other.
Yeah.
There's got to be some type of option out, you know, and then you step back and make the defense adjust. No, dude, there's seriously a ton of man in front of you.
Yeah.
That's going to be collision. And I know you're only trying to get 6 inches or a foot or whatever, but come on now. I mean, it just turned into rugby every time.
Yeah.
There was no, and it was just so lackluster of making changes throughout the game that really bothered me.
The thing for me, and going off what you said a minute ago, like the season's not over. Like, yeah, the season's not over, and you know, you said we're exactly where we were last year, and that scares me a little bit. I'm going to explain to you why in a little bit, but you know, something else, just to kind of go on some things I just didn't really think were great yesterday. I didn't think the play calling was great. I was sitting there thinking, man, some of these play calls are bad. Like, why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? And then I found out that Brown took back the play calling again this year. Okay, well, that explains that. I'm sorry.
Did he ever give it up last year?
I heard that he did. I don't know. I don't know what the official thing is. I don't know what changed. I don't know. I don't know if he's going back to his conservative crap that he was did before. I don't know, but I just I didn't think it was great. And maybe he adjusted some of it because Green wasn't playing well. I'm sorry. You know, a lot of people know I'm on the Nico train, but I've never been anti-Garrett Green. I just don't think he's – the fact that he was ever mentioned in the same breath as Pat White or the word Heisman to me is mind-blowing. And he, I don't think he's any better. Look at the layups he missed yesterday. He had Cole Taylor for like an 8-yard pass wide open in the end zone. Dude's by himself, nobody around him, and he throws it into the dirt. Another play that was right in front of me on my side of the stadium.
I thought that was Davis, the other tight end.
Maybe it was. I don't know. They're both so damn big. I can't tell from the stands.
But still, all you got to do is just throw it in the air.
The point is he had a minimum 6'5 target.
Yes.
By himself, wide open. Yes. And I'm sitting here, I saw the ball hit the ground. It literally hit the ground on the goal line. Okay. He was 2 yards inside the goal line. I'm like, that's a 10-yard pass. How do you not just lob that? How do you not just flick that with your wrist and hit him for a touchdown?
He missed a lot of easy ones.
And you know what?
I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. I'm not saying that because I never played quarterback. And I never had a 6'3", 290-pound defensive lineman coming at me I'm 6'2", but I'm not 5'11", trying to look over the line. I know it's not easy. I'm not saying that. But the thing is, though, that is your profession. You're getting paid. Let's be real. You're getting paid. So, you know, it's and you are going to school. You're a college athlete. But whatever, that should never be missed. Never.
No, that should never be missed. And I know this job's hard. You know, I get it. Like, I understand that we're all armchair coaches, right? None of us are out there playing, and you can say that all day if you want to. That doesn't mean, okay, that's fine, but every other quarterback in the Big 12 probably makes that throw yesterday. I'm sorry. That was the one for me where I was like, okay, the layups still – he still missed layups yesterday. He did hit a couple slants, and I was like, all right, cool. But by the end of the game, I was like, okay, he's not any better than last year. He's a fifth-year senior. That play right there, the one that we're specifically talking about where the tight end's wide open in the end zone, that should be 10 out of 10 every time for a fifth-year senior to be that open. Yeah. He didn't have that much pressure on him. That should have been 7 points. I'm sorry. And, like, I can't let that one go. The red zone offense as a whole yesterday was god-awful. How many times we got into the red zone enough to win yesterday? We got to the red zone enough to win. We didn't convert anything. Then a couple times we did, it was field goals. I mean, our red zone offense was atrocious. And then you score a touchdown. You finally score a touchdown given to you by the refs. You know how bad your red zone offense is. So what do? You turn around and run for two, which would be considered red zone offense because where you're running the play. And then, of course, obviously, we didn't get it. And it's like, I just didn't understand some of it. But, you know, it is what it is. As far as the sky falling, I don't think the sky is falling, but it's pretty damn black, in my opinion. And the reason why is, okay, we went 8-4 last year, and that's great. I was stoked that we went 8-4, and we got a bowl win and ended the season 9-4. I thought it was a good step forward. I thought it was a great – you know, I thought we were coming up. I didn't think we turned the corner, but I thought we were on our way to doing that. But I kind of thought about something. We finished 8-4, and that's great. But the teams that we beat last year were a combined 39-55. And the big question everybody's asking is, what is Neil Brown's signature win? Well, he said in his postgame, well, we beat Oklahoma. Okay, you beat an Oklahoma team that was the worst Oklahoma team that they've put on the field in probably the last 3 decades. What other teams? I mean, he's had a couple wins. Don't get me wrong. We're 4-15 against ranked teams. He's 4-15 in his time here. He's played 19 ranked teams, and he's won 4 times against them, counting yesterday. So, okay, yeah, but if we go 8-4 every year, what good is going 7-5 or 8-4 every single year if we're never going to beat anybody with a winning record? Out of the teams we beat last year, one finished with the winning record, and that winning record was 7-6. And I don't remember who it was. The teams that beat us last year, 10-3, 10-3, 10-2, and then Houston, if you want to count that. But if you take Houston, we should beat Houston. If you take that and you flip it and put Houston in the win column, it doesn't get any better. I mean, if you switch Houston and put them in the win column, it goes to 43 and 63 for the teams we beat, 30 and 10 for the teams that we didn't. I mean, it's just
– So I'm going to spit this the other way.
Okay.
Beat the teams you're supposed to.
Beat the teams we're supposed to? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine. But, like, so does that mean we're just going to be fine with the mediocrity of never winning a conference championship? Because if you don't beat anybody other than the teams you're supposed to, we're never going to be a conference champion in the Big 12. We're never going to make the playoffs.
You're right.
We're never going to accomplish anything other than 7-5, 8-4 on a good year. And then whatever bowl game we get that we might still lose depending on who we get matched up with. So, yeah, you're right. We beat who we were supposed to beat last year, all of them but one. But, I mean, me personally, that's not good enough for me. I want the team to proceed or progress. Oh, I want more.
I do too. The thing is, you have to, you know what I'm saying? You have to beat the teams that are you're supposed to. And then you got to, you know what I'm saying, consider sneak a game or two away from teams that are supposedly better than you.
But that's the point. And that's the point is with Rich Rod and Dana and everybody else in the past.
We didn't have to sneak. We beat them.
We could sneak those games in every once in a while. 2018 in Texas. Oh, man, I wish I would have been at that game. I mean, we weren't supposed to win that game. And Greer and Seals and company got it freaking done. You know, and we've always pulled out some of those games we were supposed to pull out. But, and that's kind of my point is we haven't done that yet. It's year six. And, you know, what if the same thing happens this year? We have, what, four more ranked teams on our schedule? So if you're going off of our history, that means more than likely, we're going to have five losses this year. That's 7-5. That's a step back from last year. Is that acceptable?
No, not at all.
I'm trying to stay positive because you're right. We got a tune-up game next week with Albany. If we don't beat them by at least three touchdowns, then I'm going to have question marks for the rest of the season.
Right. My thing is you don't have to beat Albany, you know, 65-0.
No.
But you got to beat up on them. You got to beat up on them. You got to beat Albany 45-10, you know, at least 3-4 touchdowns and make it a good practice in form of running stuff, getting things ironed out, because it looked like West Virginia looked like they weren't ready to play, and it actually shocked Neil. That's what kind of bothered me more than anything. Neil Brown didn't really have answers. He's like,
That begs the question for me. If you thought they were ready and we get to the game and obviously we see what happened, then where's the disconnect? I mean, did the guys just think, hey, we're so improved from last year going 8-4 that, you know, we can kind of, you know, we don't have to worry about it. Let's go in here and play. I mean, did the Heisman talk get the Green's head? Like, I just don't, I don't understand.
Because there was no real Heisman talk. There's nobody except somebody wearing blue and gold hat somewhere thinking that boy's going to win a Heisman.
I don't know, man. Hey, there's some people on Twitter that, you know, were, talking heads that said, hey, he might be in the conversation. Like, I'm sorry, I just
never was. Never was, never will be.
Nonetheless, guys, there's really nothing we can take from yesterday as a positive other than Josiah Trotter. Dude had 10 tackles. You know, dude played well. I mean, he was him. Yeah, yeah,
he
exactly.
Was, you know, he, so, you got, he gave you what was expected out of him. Yep. You know?
But, you know, moving on to Albany, you know, the thing that scares me, Lanny, is we don't beat ranked teams. They're ranked in the FCS. They're 16th in the FCS, man. I don't know. But I mean, they're a good team. They're a conference champion. I don't think we lose.
They're competitive.
They are. They
with
are.
Our group.
I don't think we lose this, but I think if we play like we did against Penn State, I don't think we win, you know, by the mark that you and I think we should. And I think that sets up a bad game week going into Pitt. I don't know. I kind of thought at the beginning of the season before Saturday kicked off, that Albany game, we'll probably see second stringers maybe before halftime, right? Definitely in the third quarter. We won't see. We won't see Nico till the fourth quarter, and we might not even see him then if we're only up two touchdowns. You know, like I just
if your starters, you know, still need reps and still need things to work on, you know, it's up in the air with it.
Again, you know, I just want everybody to know that I'm not sitting here dogging this because we did not win. I'm dogging this because we looked like crap while we lost. Losing by 7, maybe even 10 yesterday would have been, you know, hey, that's kind of what we expected. You know, we played well. We lost by a touchdown. We lost by 10 points. Fine. But I honestly think Green, and I think almost as a team, we looked better against Penn State last year than we did this year.
Green looked scared. He looked scared to run. He looked scared to throw. He looked nervous taking the snap. And you know that radiates into other. And I'm not saying Green's not a baller. Kid's tough. The kid is tough.
But if the leader,
and he gave everything he had, you can see that I think it was a fourth down call where he got hit and just shrugged the guy off and dragged and, you know, got the first. There's no one's going in there saying, you know, I want to lose. There's that's not happening. And, you know, maximum effort was there. I'm really giving credit to Penn State because Penn State punched them in the mouth hard all the way around. From I think their kicker punched somebody in the mouth. You know, I mean, it was no aspect of that football game Penn State didn't dominate in. None.
Right. And I think that as somebody on the rest of the offense, if the leader of your offense is scared, then you're scared. And I think the thing with Green is, here's the thing. He's not going to beat anybody with his arm. All right. I think we all have to accept that now. He's a senior. He's not going to beat anybody by slinging the ball. He's going to, if he can get it to where he can hit something to keep a defense honest, that's great. But all a team has to do this year is pack the box against us, put a spy on Green,
until he proves it other,
and say, hey, beat us with your arm. And if teams do that, I think it's going to be a bad year because I don't think he can beat anybody with his arm, full arm for a game. If he is not faster than the ends and he's not faster than the immediate secondary, he's kind of a non-factor at that point. He has wheels, but if anybody can get close enough to him in time, I don't know, man. I think for a fifth-year senior, I just think it's – I don't know.
The running backs were hesitant. They were trying to pick the hole instead of just explode through the hole. When they ran hard, they got some yardage. And it was almost like they were playing not to mess up. There is a such thing as – I'm going to play not to make a mistake. And when you play not to make a mistake, that's when you make more mistakes than what you could ever make to begin with.
I thought it was almost like they were trying to find a way to break off a 30, 40-yard run than trying to just pound the hole and get 10 yards at a time.
I'm thinking like 4 yards at a time. I think when he averaged like 2.3 like yards a run.
2.5, 2.6.
Yeah. And Penn State drew up the perfect defense, how anybody can copy it. You just said it. I'm going to play man on the outside. And if you beat me, you beat me. You're not going to beat me 5 times. You know, I'm not giving up 5 touchdowns to you.
But that's the thing. That's the thing.
But I'm going to play man. And up front, we're going helmet to helmet. And your quarterback is going to have to beat us with, you know what I'm saying, over the top. Or your running backs are going to have to hit it. Seam on us and cut it back or something, and our wide receivers didn't get any separate. Any catch they made was so contested. Even like the bubble screens, it was catch and you got to make a move as soon as some, you know, nothing. We got nothing easy in that. We get a fumble and we give it right back. And it was just frustrating in the whole game. And it wasn't like, don't think that we got blown out. We just didn't do our part.
Yeah. I mean, did Penn State did Penn State beat us? Yes, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
They did. But we did not give them a fair fight. We didn't do anything to make them feel like it was ever in danger. We didn't do anything to make them ever feel like, okay, hey, can't let that happen again. We gotta get it this time. You know, and that's all I was asking for. I wasn't asking for him to beat Penn State. I was asking to be competitive in the game. I was asking to lose by 7-10 points. I'm happy with that. Considering who it is. I mean, let's be honest. They might not beat Michigan and Ohio State, because I think Michigan and Ohio State lives in their heads rent-free. But, I mean, there's a huge possibility they make the playoffs this year. And if we can still finish the season good, 8-4, 9-3, and one of our worst losses is a team that's in the playoffs, I can live with that. But it's the fact that we did not even look like we even – we're in the same – didn't even look like it was a Power 5 game for us, and that's what bothers me. But let's shrug that negativity off. The day's over. We got to go on to Albany. Like I said, 16th ranked in FCS, conference champion team. I think we win it. I think, you know, obviously I think and hope Green's going to look better against this. You know, we need to use it as a tune-up game to fix everything, which is everything that's wrong right now, and go into Pitt. So I'm going 49-17 Albany. God, 49-17 WVU. Sorry, guys. I do think we're going to play like we should against a freaking FCS team and get that win. I do think, though, our defense did what I was scared was going to happen. The two things I said about our defense was I'm scared that the defensive line is not going to be able to get into the backfield any. And we're going to have to rely on our secondary. And I was nervous about that. And that's exactly what the story was. Our defense didn't. I don't think we pressured him at all the whole day. I don't think we ever got pressure on him.
Well,
and he picked apart our secondary.
And when we did get pressure, he just stepped up. And where the hell was our linebackers at out in coverage?
Yep. And somebody's there wide open.
He's seen our linebackers' backs. You know, it's like, shoot, there's nobody there. And
was my worry. That was my worry for the game on defense, and that's what happened. So hopefully our defense can kind of get some stuff together. I say 49-17 WVU this week, we think.
I'm saying 45-20.
45-20. All right.
And that sucks. That sucks because it should be worse than that. But I think Albany's going to put up a couple touchdowns and a couple field goals.
I think you got to – I think in order to be completely confident going into Pitt, you got to beat about at least 3 touchdowns. You know, I don't think we can beat an FCS school by less than 3 touchdowns going to Pitt and think that that's going to be an easy ride for us. So, but anyway, that's what we're thinking, guys. And we have a little surprise here for Lanny. I didn't tell him that we were doing this. So for me, this is going to kind of, I've been thinking about it a little before, but Lanny, I went on Twitter and posted for, hey, we've been doing this, you know, for a couple months. So let's take some questions. We actually got some people. Okay. I didn't think anybody was going to submit anything, but we got some. And you guys watching this, Lanny's reactions to these questions are going to be raw because I didn't tell him I was doing this. I like to
brutally honest.
Yeah, brutally honest. Exactly.
Put the earmuffs on the kids.
Yep. I like doing this to Lanny because this is how I know I can get his best immediate raw reaction is to just not tell him I'm doing something and say, hey, here it is. So I'll answer these questions as well. Okay. But so our first one is from his screen name or whatever you want to call it, is Pap. His handle on Twitter is at Creek Wanderer. And he asks, if we lose the Pit and the fans lose their minds on Neil, how do you think Neil and Ren react? Go, Lanny. I'll let you go first.
Lost to Pitt. Ren Baker. I mean, you're not gonna fire the coach in the middle of the season.
Right.
You know, you're what you're paying him, you're paying for basically 6 wins, 5 wins. So your Neil Brown is worth every penny that you're paying him because of I think the pay scale goes. You lose to Pitt this year. There's troubles, especially now you'd be setting 1-2 and
going into Kansas,
going into Big 12, you know, so the only win would be Albany and you lost to both teams from the state of Pennsylvania that you're going to, you know, the two major teams in the state of Pennsylvania that you're that's direct recruiting and everything. And I think Neil Brown would be hard on himself to begin with and Ren Baker point of view. But what do you do? You're not going to fire him, you know,
no.
But you're putting yourself in a bad, bad spot. And I think that seat heats up a little bit more because, you know, it's just with rushing on fire coaches. I mean, what do you do? That's where I'm at with it.
So I think one thing you said is right. That is, if you do lose to Pitt, you're going into Kansas with Jalen Daniels, because let's be honest, the fourth game of the year is too early for him to be hurt. I mean, he's glass, man. He's going to get hurt again. Like, you know, but he's a hell of a player. And the problem with him is, if our defense can't keep up with him, but that's way ahead. You know, I don't want to get too much into that, but I think that's a dangerous position to be one.
A loss to Pitt hurts. A loss to Pitt
puts
you behind it. I mean, you're in a bad, bad spot between two rocks.
But to answer the question, I think Neil reacts with, I think he's going to get a little nervous. I think he's going to get a little scared because he knows that after last year, he knows that he has to prove this year can be a repeat. He has to prove that last year wasn't a fluke. Losing to Pitt is not going to help us as the fans okay, he made a turn last year. We're going to think, here we go, back to what we were. And I think if you're Ren Baker, no, you're not going to fire him at the third game of the season. That's not going to happen. But what you are going to do is you're going to throw some gasoline on a seat. You're going to stand there with a match and say, your Big 12 play starts next week. Mm-hmm. You better make some changes.
I just hope to God it doesn't happen, because I don't want to go through that shit.
I don't either.
I don't. Oh my goodness, I do not. For my own sanity, and right. I don't want to lose to Pitt this year,
right?
Because, you know, I'm a very positive individual as far as taking it easy on people and second chances and stuff like that. But man, it's gonna be hard. You know what I'm saying? Because I jumped on Neil's. We're gaining last year. And a Pitt loss this year would be devastating to my morale.
Well, everybody asked me, you know, are you back on the train? I said, no, so I'm not back on the train. I said, but I did buy a ticket and I'm at the station a year down the road. And I might get on that train, but it's gotta be after this year. So anyway. Next question. This is from Jeff Ruff at Jeff_Ruff. Dude, I like this guy. I don't know. I know you don't spend a whole lot of time on Twitter, on our Twitter page. You know, if you guys are wondering, most of the time, if you're conversing with us, most of the time you're talking to me. Lanny just doesn't do a lot of social media stuff.
Or technology.
Technology in general. But this Jeff Ruff guy, man, I like him. He puts a lot of good stuff out there. He's a funny dude. He asks, is it coaching or is it the lack of Jimmy Joes? He says, both fall squarely on the coaching staff. What marquee skill position have we had in his tenure here? And how long are we going to allow this embarrassment to go on? So the first part of that question, he says, is it coaching or is it the lack of Jimmy and Joes? I think personally, it's a lot of it's coaching. I think a very small amount of it is Jimmy and Joes, because at the end of the day, we're WVU. We're not getting the guys Bama are getting. We're not getting the guys Penn State's getting. We're not getting the guys Michigan. We are getting more of them these days than we were. That's true. But we don't have a team, you know, places like Penn State, Alabama, they turn recruits away. They're like,
true.
Hey,
that's true.
Sorry, you're a 4.5 star. We got all 5 stars. We don't need you. Okay. A four star like that is somebody that we're like, hell yeah, let's get him here. So there's a difference there. But here's my thing. We have the same Jimmy and Joes, in my opinion, here that Dana had a lot of the times. I mean, our recruiting is a little better, but I think it's more coaching than Jimmy and Joe's, but I think it's a little, I do think it's some of both, but I primarily coaching. I'm sorry. The coaching yesterday was bad, or Saturday. Dang. I'm sorry.
I think it's coaching. I think it's definitely coaching, because there's some horses in the stable, and my thing is, you got to let them run. You have to put them in positions to win the, you know, and don't handcuff your studs. Don't, you know, you got to cut loose and play outside the box. There's, you know what I'm saying? It's a copycat. Everything's copycat from here to the NFL, from, you know, Little League up. It's all, if this works and this works and this works for them, I can make it work for us. and he's got to find ways to get the ball into playmakers' hands. And
I don't think getting the ball in the playmakers' hands is too much of the problem, as much as it is he calls the same damn play three times in a row.
Well,
we got a first down in the red zone on a running play, and he ran the same play two more times.
Where I'm at with it is you can't be conservative. You as soon as we think that it was like we wouldn't see any conservativeness, here it came back again, you know, and its play calling went back to the beginning of last year. If you had two screens up of 2023 Penn State game and 2024 Penn State game, the play calling wasn't a whole lot different.
I agree.
I mean, that's where I'm at. I mean, I feel like it's got to be coaching.
Right.
It has to be the coaching.
The next question after, you know, he has a multiple question, I guess, multiple stage question here, but he says, what marquee skill position have we had with Brown? I can't think of one. Marquee, like something that really stands out, something that's like, hey, this is one of the best in the country, you know, of development under him. You know, at different points, we've had really good defensive stances. We've had really good running backs, receivers, whatever. But I don't think we've had anything you would want to call marquee.
I don't know about marquee. Like, the biggest thing is you had an absolute stud in Zach Frazier. And I hate to go into the past with it, but that's the question you're asking.
Oh, and, there you go. No, that's the answer.
And Beanie Bishop, who came here as a transfer
one year.
From a Big Ten school,
yeah,
and lit it up, became pretty much an All-American.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was – but you put him in a position to be able to make those plays and stuff and his athleticism and everything. But a marquee player, I don't know. Who do you think? I mean, the person who asked the question, what do you think?
I
just can't draw it up.
I think that's why he asked the question, because he doesn't have an answer himself. I guess, he said, if we were going to pick one gun in my head, Zach Frazier. You know, I mean,
yeah,
he was great at what he did, and he was smart. Like, he had a high IQ.
My thing is, a marquee player could go play for any top 10 team.
I think Zach Frazier could have. I don't know that he would have necessarily. Dude,
he straight up, I know this because of friends of mine that's close to Zach Frazier. He had the opportunity to go to Alabama. And he told him no.
Yeah.
That's
I think you know who told us that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Because I remember him telling me and you that he told us that at different points, but I know he told me that as well.
But so, I'm talking transfer and get paid.
Yeah.
That, well, you come here next year, you will be the starter at Alabama on a number on a top three team in the nation. And he said, nah, I'm good.
Well, so that's the answer. That's the answer then. Next question, Mr. Brian McGuinn at Brian McGuinn WV. Why is Neil still the coach at WVU? One game over 500 for his career. He's never once been ranked in 6 years. Why?
Because West Virginia went on to pay $7 million for a 7-win, 8-win coach.
I think that's a good answer. I think, honestly, I don't know. I want to say that we haven't, but we're starting our sixth year, and I'm seeing a lot of the same stuff we've seen the last couple. And I think Lanny makes a good point when he says that there is a correlation between how many coaches or how many games a coach can consistently win and how much you're paying them. We're paying Neil Brown in the 4-6 range. We're going to get $4 to $6 million wins, which is about 6-6, 7-5.
Yeah.
You have a couple good years.
He's overachieved. You know, I mean, that's the way I see it.
Yeah, he overachieved, but you're going back to last year where I told you, you know, 34 and 55 or whatever it was our. If two extra teams on the teams that we beat would have been ranked and had winning records, you have to assume that those are losses and we finished the damn year 6-6 again. You know, so it's just, I don't know. I have a hard time with that. But I think Lanny, my answer is the same as Lanny's, because that's what we're paying him for. We're paying for about a little bit more than a 500 coach.
And there's no top 40 coach knocking on the door to come to WU.
That's true.
And with Neil Brown leaves, you're going to be replacing him with another Neil Brown.
See, that's where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong. I want to Jimbo Fisher.
Never come here.
You don't know. He's taking this year off so he can coach next year, okay? He's coming. He's coming. The Savior's coming, everybody.
Okay.
And Jeff Ruffy put another one in at the last minute. He's like, I got another one. I want you guys to, you know, he says, how is it possible PSU's game plan was so seamless with three brand new coordinators working their very first game together while we have the same staff for multiple years and we look like we look like two monkeys humping a football?
Better athletes.
Better athletes? Yeah, better athletes, but there's something to be said about that. Even because, look, West Virginia.
It wasn't seamless. They had fumbles.
They had one turnover that could have been an issue if they were playing Michigan, Ohio State, or if we would have been playing well. They had one turnover that could have been an issue. We had three turnovers, and God bless
Nico. You want to know? I'm going to go away from this for a second and come back.
Okay.
They had last year's film to go over, dissect, where they won by 15 points. And they said, if we win by 15 again, we're good. If they show us this look, we're good. We showed them the same shit as we did last year. You don't have to prepare whenever you know that this guy's when he's got you 0-2, he's going to throw a fastball. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it was. We made it easy. Staff made it easy to prepare.
So you're saying that Neil Brown is too predictable?
Very predictable. It was very predictable. Okay. Offensively, defensively, you know.
All right. That's fair. My thing is,
if you watch film and watch film and watch film, and you see this lineup, you go, here it comes. This is going to be whatever the route tree is, whatever this D-backs, this is what's coming at you. Linebacker, move your ass over to the left because this ball is going to the right here, you know, and I got to fill this gap. Whenever you can see adjustments being made on the fly, it's recognition going on. And that's what I saw out of Penn State.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good answer. I think on top of that, I think the only thing I would kind of change in the answer is that it's just a higher caliber of people. You kind of can almost tie that in the same way you can tie in, we're paying our coach this much, and this is the wins we're paying for. Well, they're paying for top-tier coordinators that are just flat-out better than ours. And I think ultimately that's my answer, Jeff.
You got coordinators that were head coaches at other schools.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good way to put it. And I think, Jeff Ruff, that's my answer, is they are just flat-out better. That's just it. They're just flat out better. I don't know what else to say. I hate to be so gray about it, but that's what it comes down to. And so anyway, I think that's where we'll end. Those questions. Hopefully I'll put more out on Twitter. I think I might do that every week. Be like, hey, y'all throw us some questions. If we get to a point where people throw us too many, we'll probably have to pick some of our favorite questions, but I appreciate the people that did participate.
Or we can just do a show based upon questions, you know?
Yeah, that might not be a bad idea either. So,
you know, lets you know exactly how we feel, and, you know, we ain't never going to bullshit you. Am I right? Hell no! I'm not saying I am.
Well, you know, I don't think anybody's right.
It's our opinion, and that's all we really got, you know? And I'm not, you know, and if I'm wrong, God bless, I'm wrong. That's like I fired out there on a TikTok thing. You know, guy was like Penn State by 21. And I said, no way, put your money up. Send me your Venmo. I'll take that bet, $100. And he said, I'm not betting you on here. Then after the game, he says, pay me. You know, and I said, that's not how it works. I would have gladly Venmo'd you.
You said no.
You said no.
I mean, you turned down the offer.
You know? And it's stuff like that where it's like, if I'm wrong, I will gladly pay if I'm wrong or shut my mouth up if I'm wrong. But if I'm right, I'm still not going to gloat about it or whatever. It's just my opinion, you know? Just like C-Rays, it's your opinion, bub. You know? And everybody's so fast to attack. You know, and it's like, God, I wish I knew. I wish I knew to score the next 10 games. But
everything is my opinion except Jimbo Fisher. That's fact. Jimbo Fisher, WVU confirmed 2020.
No way in hell. No way in hell.
All right, guys. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We appreciate all you guys that listen and subscribe and all that stuff.
We do. We really do.
you know, it's fun. We enjoy doing this, and we enjoy the participation, the people that ask questions. Man, we really like that. I didn't know how many we'd get.
Ask questions as you watch this. You know, comment below.
We'll check them and hit them next time.
Yeah, and we'll call you out. We'll call you out.
Damn right. So, all right, guys. Well, hey, thanks for everybody. Appreciate you guys, and you guys have a good week.
Hope we kept you entertained from ear to ear. Goodbye. Let's go.